All right, welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, and it's certainly a privilege to be able to share the good news. We're excited about what God is doing, and we want to press on, ladies and gentlemen, to, let's see, did I start that? Yes. And so we want to press on with the information that the Lord is sharing with us at the moment. In the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I want to turn to it quickly. And basically, let me position this, get this a little better. Because what we find, ladies and gentlemen, in the 12th chapter and verse, well, let's pick up verse 23 and then 24. It says, to the general assembly. So we're coming to a general assembly, so to speak. You know, where everybody or everything gather. That's basically what the point that's being made here. And we have come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven or recorded in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We've come into his presence, we've come to him, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Notice that phrase, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Well, we're going to press through today in this study. And the title really is The Blood of Sprinkling Speak, because it did speak and it continues to speak today. You know, in a few weeks we'll be partaking of the Lord's Passover. It's the first of the annual celebrated milestone in God's master plan of salvation for mankind. And we believers have come to that general assembly. Yes, we have come to that understanding and that position in Christ, so to speak, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh. Now, I looked up several translations, and some said blood that's sprinkled or sprinkled blood and sprinkled blood that speak. And it's generally the same concept, that blood. Because blood is used in the purification process. Those who follow the annual holidays should be getting teaching along that line. But what we find is that there is a comparison, and it is the very opposite of what we read in Genesis chapter 4. So let's go to Genesis chapter 4, and we read about Abel and Cain. Cain talked with Abel, his younger brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And verse 10 says, and he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground. Notice that now. It's an allegorical statement. The voice of your brother's blood, or the blood of Abel, is crying out to the Lord. And you read on, you see where there was a curse pronounced on Cain. And the point is that because of what he has done, really, he's going to be almost like what you call a vagabond. And so the curse really is in response to his deed, and therefore there is revenge or vengeance. Now, I want you to notice what transpired there. Abel's blood cries out, and therefore God, in response, pronounced the curse on Cain. All right, now we, and you and I, by the way, let me preface this by saying, in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, Let's turn to it quickly and pick it up in verse 14. Because what God is trying to convey to us, he says, it is the life of all flesh. So the blood, he was telling them, don't eat blood because it is the life of all flesh, or you might say represents life. And therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is blood thereof. Whosoever eat it shall be cut off. The point is this: blood represents the life. So you spill the blood, you spill his life. That's basically it. And in this case, he drained out all of Abel's blood, and so he died. Now, Jesus, as we will see in the Passover, he lost his life too. But his blood now has a different meaning, which is what was being referenced in just that one verse. So the Passover represents the loss of Jesus' life, or he voluntarily, really, when you understand the full gist. He willingly go to the cross, the Bible says, and so he gave up his life. Yes, those who killed him, they didn't know that, but that was the plan. And so that blood was spilled, but that blood now has different things to say. And so when we go back to verse 12, 24 of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, he says, the blood of sprinkling or sanctification, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than of Abel. Now, if you don't know about Abel, well, this would really be foreign to you. So we just covered a part about Abel and what happened there in regards to, I mean, how it's being applied. Well, we get the understanding, in other words. Again, Abel's blood calls for revenge. But Jesus' blood speaks better things than that. It's a higher way of thinking and operation. Now, we have all sinned, every one of us. We have all sinned, and of course, the sin again is, the result is going to be a curse. But Jesus takes this all away. His word, or his blood rather, speak better things, and so he takes that curse away. So that is what you and I then are celebrating when we come to the Passover. Now, what is included in this word that it's speaking better things? In other words, it is saying better things, saying things for mankind. Well, several, you know, we could come to mind. One is, having my notes here, forgiveness and grace. We're forgiven because of what Jesus has done. By us accepting his shed blood, then we can receive forgiveness of sins. We receive grace, in other words. There is redemption and freedom. And, you know, Jesus' position really continues to advocate on our behalf. That is part of what most of the churches are missing. He is still doing it right now on our behalf. And, of course, the end result is eternal life. All right, let's try to break these things down a little. And we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Because there is a lot in the Bible about the blood. And you hear people, we sing about the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. The power of the blood. Well, how does it operate and what is it implied? Well, this is part of what we want to dissect. It says in verse 6, let's start in verse 6. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us acceptable in beloved. So that's how we get to this position now. We become acceptable because of that grace that comes through the blood. And verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So there it is. We begin to see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the forgiveness and redemption that we then are able to receive because of the blood. We want to make sure we understand this. You hear a lot of folks, by the way, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about pleading the blood. I understand what the people are saying. That's a colloquial expression folks have developed. It means you're asking God to apply the blood on your behalf, which he automatically does once you're a Christian anyway. But I want to make sure we become, you know, scripturally accurate. Now, let's take it a step further. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. All right, let's pick it up in verse 12 first. That at the time you were without Christ. So we and you and I at one point were in that position, were without Christ. He was speaking of the Ephesians then, but by extension it comes to all mankind who's reading his word, right? We're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Every one of us was in that position. But because of the blood of Jesus, all that is changed. Look and read verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. We have access. We can talk to the Father, and he hears us, and he responds to us. Why? Because of the blood. For he is our peace. We're not scared anymore. No. He is our heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our brother, who had made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's as if there was a wall between us. Well, he's breaking all that down through what? The blood of Jesus. And therefore, now we have we are now acceptable in the beloved, as we read a short while ago. All right, let's read on a little more about the blood of Jesus. As I'm telling you, you know, it's packed. You wonder why demons tremble when they hear about the blood? Because they know the significance of this. Yes, they can see in the spirit realm, and they get scared. They know there is God. They just tremble because they're in a position, mental restraint where they cannot change. So they stay corrupt and they are waiting for their judgment. Just thought I'd mention that. But what else do we need to know about the blood? Because I was saying the advocacy of Jesus. The blood of this Jesus is describing, or I should say, as actively speaking on behalf of believers before God, continually validating their standing, you know, before God. John chapter 10, verse 10, as a matter of fact, implies something here. I'm going to read that. Well, I'm just quote it. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So that's this part of the deal. But let's go back and look at Romans, the 5th chapter. And we're going to see some more, because I'm telling you that when you study these scriptures, you realize that the blood of Jesus is speaking great things on our behalf. Let's see, Romans chapter, did I say 5? 5. And let's pick it up starting with verse, let's pick up verse 5. My notes say 6, but let's pick it up in 5. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, that impartation took place at, baptism and the laying on of hands. And verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And let me just say something here. You know, brother, many times I speak with Brother Moses, and he would say, receive strength to do so and so. He's talking about the capacity to do it. Well, it's the same way that word is used here. Yet we were without strength, but in due time, because Christ died for us, now we have strength. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, But God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood. Here it is now. We're justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when you were enemies, you were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, you shall be saved by his life. I want us to focus again on verse 9. Much more than being justified by his blood. What justification? Who qualifies you to go into the presence of God, to talk with him? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Well, the blood is doing more, you know. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. Just a second. So 1 John chapter 1, and pick it up in verse 6. Now let's start verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we're declaring this message, this general message, this gospel. In him is life and light. And verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk with darkness, we're lying and we're not telling the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There it is again. The blood is what makes all this possible. If we say that we have no sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is he using again? The blood. Verse 15, verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the point is this, that he's continually cleansing us. He ensures that we stay that way. It is imperative that we understand this thing, ladies and gentlemen, that the blood of Jesus is continually being applied. So what I'm saying is, when the folks saying plead blood, that's basically what they were trying to convey, just poor choice of words. So I am saying to you, a result of all of this then is a certain peace and tranquility as you walk with the Lord. We need to understand how it works, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to Colossians chapter 1 so we can get a little bit more, admonition here. Chapter 1 and picking up in verse 18. He is the head of the body. That's Jesus, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Or in other words, he comes first. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. Or he said his cross, because that he's the one who carried that cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they are things in earth or things in heaven. Now, I want us to go back and look at this verse again. And I want you to think of something, but let me go ahead and preface this by pointing out. You know, when folks are in proper standing in a particular situation, there's a certain boldness. You have courage. You're not scared. If you know you're not in proper standing, then there is the tendency to go astray or I should say to hide away. People become what I call shamefaced and so on. But when you know that God is with you, there is a boldness that comes with it. Well, it is in that context that he's using the word peace here. So let's read verse 20 again. We're going to go through 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, yes, we got peace now, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. If I say, let's read it. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they are things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now as he reconciled. How did he reconcile us? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. And you know the story. The point is that you made a quality decision. You're going to accept his shed blood instead of yours, because yours is not good enough. That's it. Simple that. I won't even expound on that. So the point here again is that in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That is his goal. And elsewhere it says perfection. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. So that's it. We're going to get better and better and more perfect and more perfect and more like Christ and more like Christ as we go on. That's the whole idea. All this, ladies and gentlemen, is made possible through what? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we go ahead and you read, now this is what I'm saying. Sometimes it is necessary that we drill down a little further, because in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse, it's just one verse, but it expounds on so much, and if you don't get all this together, you miss a lot. Let's read verse 24 again. Unto Jesus, the mediator. So we've come now. Actually, it starts in verse 22. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. So we are come to that position, is a status. And we are come to the General Assembly, verse 23 and to verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. Remember again, the sprinkling of the blood, what? To sanctify according to the covenant. That's the idea. You read a lot about this in Leviticus 16 and 17. You can read that. But and I am, it escapes me now, it's in Exodus also. But you get the idea. So I am saying now, he's the mediator of a new covenant to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. What did I say about Abel again? His blood cried out for the revenge. And as a result, there was a curse on Cain. Well, we have all sinned. Not at the level of Cain, but the point is that we have all sinned. But Jesus has made it possible, therefore, that we now can have access to the Father. And so we have come now to the sprinkled blood that speak better things. And he continues to say better things for us and to us and about us. It is a continual thing. And when you stop and think about it, and by the way, this is just a touch of a small, you know, portion of the subject about the blood. Very, very, very important, very significant, but it is, I thought I'd just expound on this to help us to understand a little more about what we are doing as we come up towards the Passover. Again, we are going to celebrate the 31st of this month. And, you know, the point is that Jesus has made this possible, the first in the overall plan of salvation. Many of us have been through this before, so it's not, you know, new to you, but you get the idea. The blood of Jesus is very important, and I just thought I would just go ahead and just drive that home this morning. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson.